Thank you, Reverend Cole. Members of the Theological School Committee, Fathers of the Synod, esteemed colleagues, honored graduate, and brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the passage of Holy Writ that Reverend Cole read to us tonight records God's commission of the prophet Jeremiah. A commission is authority bestowed on someone in order to perform a certain task. Authority to carry out an important calling on behalf of the one by whom he is commissioned. God commissioned Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah, and God bestowed on Jeremiah the authority to perform a certain task. A task among his people, the children of Judah, the Old Testament church of God. God commissioned Jeremiah to be a prophet. He called him to speak the word of God to the people of God. Verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Verse 7, the last part. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And verse 17, the first part. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. It is important to understand the circumstances in Judah at the time that God commissioned the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was commissioned by God to the prophetic office during the time of the reign of King Josiah. Josiah was a God-fearing king. A God-fearing king who brought reformation to Judah. But Josiah was the last God-fearing king of Judah. And the reformation that he brought proved to be only temporary and short-lived. Cowed into submission by Josiah during his lifetime, the unbelieving element in Judah soon gained the ascendancy after his death and remained in the ascendancy until the carrying away into captivity by Babylon. It was to that Judah that God sent the prophet Jeremiah. It was to the church that Jeremiah was sent, but to the church that was falling away and that was in the process of falling away still further from the Lord. It was to an apostatizing church to whom the prophet was sent by God, to a people who had forsaken God's covenant. What was true of the church in Jeremiah's day is true also of the church generally in our day, and is true of the Reformed Church in particular. Most of these churches have forsaken the God of the everlasting covenant. Most of these churches have forsaken the gospel of sovereign grace, the gospel of the Reformation. And most of these churches are on the road of apostasy. In this chapter, then, the Lord commissions the prophet Jeremiah, commissions him as a prophet preacher. Just so does God commission the prophet preacher in the church today. And just so will he also, we trust. We trust is already now in the process of commissioning you, Brother Ibe. God is the one who called Jeremiah to be a prophet. God enabled him to carry out the work of his office. God gave him the word that he was to speak to his people, putting that word in Jeremiah's mouth. And God promises to use that prophetic word effectively, both for condemnation and for salvation. All of this belongs to the Lord's commission of Jeremiah. Everything that we are taught in this chapter applies also to the New Testament office of the minister of the gospel. Even though God commissions the New Testament minister of the gospel in a different way, not directly as he did Jeremiah, but through the church and the call of the church, after a man has thoroughly prepared himself. Nevertheless, still today, it is God who commissions the preacher. He calls. He puts the word in the mouth of the preacher. He sends the preacher forth to his people, and he promises the preacher and the church that sends the preacher that he will use the word of the gospel effectively, both for condemnation and for salvation, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. I call your attention this evening to the commission of the prophet preacher. In the passage, God commissions Jeremiah to be a prophet. He calls him to bring his word to his people, the children of Judah. Jeremiah's initial response was to decline this commission by God. He was inclined to reject God's call of him, first of all, because he considered himself unqualified to be a prophet of the Lord. That's verse 6 of the chapter. Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." That Jeremiah felt himself to be but a child means that he felt himself to be inadequate, too inexperienced to be a prophet of God. On the grounds of his inexperience and his youth, he drew back from God's call of him. Every preacher ought to feel the way Jeremiah felt. Every preacher ought to have the sense of his own inability. He ought to feel himself altogether unqualified to carry out the work of his office. The office is too great for any man. The prophet preacher must know who he is before he ever utters one word to the people of God. He must know who he is, first of all, so that he ascribes everything that he is and everything that he does as a prophet of God to God and to God alone. He must know who he is, secondly, so that, convicted of his own inability, he depends not at all upon himself, but relies exclusively upon God. And he must know who he is, thirdly, so that when he comes to God's people, he does not exalt himself, but conducts himself among God's people in humility, deep humility. Nothing is more destructive to the calling of the prophet preacher than arrogance and pride. That divides and scatters the sheep of God's flock. And that attitude, God judges. There is another reason on account of which the prophet's inclination was to refuse God's call of him. That reason comes out in what God says in verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah anticipated opposition and rejection. He knew the spiritual condition of the people to whom God was sending him. Verse 16, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worship the works of their own hands. He knew the sins that were prevalent in Judah, the forsaking of God, the worship of the idol gods, the hypocritical worship of God, the immorality, the violence, the desecration of the Sabbath, the great sin that the prophet speaks out against in chapter 17. He knew how Judah would respond to his word, to the faithful and sharp preaching of the word of God. Verse 19, the first part, and they shall fight against thee. Because he anticipated opposition and rejection, Jeremiah was not inclined to accept God's commission of him to be prophet in Judah. But no man refuses God's call. God does not take no for an answer. Whom he calls irresistibly. The Lord's own response to all of Jeremiah's objections is that he has called and he will qualify his prophet. This belongs to God's commission of Jeremiah. This is the assurance that he gives his servant. This is the teaching, especially, of verse 5 of the chapter. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. There are three parts to verse 5, three phrases that describe three closely related works of God that culminate in God's commission of the prophet preacher. I knew thee, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee. First, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God did not simply know about the prophet, something concerning the prophet, but he knew the prophet, knew him personally. I knew thee. That is the knowledge of love. The love according to which God chooses someone unto himself. Chooses him unto salvation. That knowledge is God's eternal knowledge. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. In time, God formed the prophet in his mother's belly. But before God formed him in time, that is, in eternity, God knew him. The knowledge of which the passage speaks is the same knowledge as the apostle refers to in Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Just so, God knew, foreknew the prophet and predestinated Jeremiah. And just so, God knows and God predestinates the faithful minister of the gospel today. We are taught something here. We are taught what is the indispensable qualification for the prophet preacher. He must be an elect child of God, a saved man. Oh, to be sure, God is able to use an unsaved man in the office of prophet preacher, is able to use him even for good. But this is the will of God, that the prophet preacher be an elect child of God. He must himself know experientially the salvation that he proclaims to others. He must be gripped by the word of the gospel in his own life. He must know the grace of God that he proclaims to others. Secondly, I sanctify thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Sanctified means literally to set apart. To set apart by Jehovah God for special service unto Jehovah God. That's the way it is with the prophet preacher. As an office bearer of God, he has been set apart from the rest of God's people in order to carry out a special service on behalf of Jehovah God. And third, I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. This third expression in verse 5 indicates the specific calling unto which God had set Jeremiah apart. He had been set apart by Jehovah God to be a prophet. What all this comes down to is that God has called Jeremiah. Not only is this impressed upon him through God's direct word to Jeremiah, actually speaking to him and commissioning him to be a prophet, but this is also the testimony of his prophetic name. The prophet's name is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah means raised up or appointed by Jehovah. His very name will be a constant reminder to the prophet that God has commissioned him. God has called him. God has raised him up. God has set him in his office. This truth is of the greatest practical significance now. For this reason, the very first question that's asked of ministers at the time of their ordination into office is this question. I ask thee, whether thou feelest in thy heart that thou art lawfully called of God's church and therefore of God himself to this holy ministry. The church needs to know this truth, to be sure. The church needs to know this truth so that she will have a proper attitude towards the prophet preacher in her midst. She must know that God has commissioned him. God has sent him. He comes in God's authority. But of this truth, the preacher himself must be confident. He must remind himself of this truth at those times when he begins to doubt his own ability to carry out his calling. Of this truth, he must remind himself when he faces opposition and rejection, as every minister of the gospel does. God has commissioned me. God has called me. God has sent me. It is God who has commissioned the prophet preacher. He has commissioned him to speak. This is plain from the passage. This gets all of the emphasis in the passage. Jeremiah's objection had been, verse 6, I cannot speak. According to verse 7, God sends Jeremiah to speak. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. The action of the Lord in verse 9 concerns Jeremiah's speaking. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And that's verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. The Lord does not commission the prophet preacher to entertain. The Lord does not commission him to be a socializer. He does not commission him to be one who will be able to get along with all the different age groups in the church. One who will be able to head up all of the special programs designed for the members of the church. He does not commission him to be a good human relations man. He does not commission him to be the CEO of the church that is structured after a business model. But the Lord commissions the prophet preacher to speak, to proclaim, to preach, to expound. what he must speak, the Lord makes clear in his commission of Jeremiah. He may not speak any word, his own word. It is not left up to the prophet, preacher, what word he will speak. Neither is it the decision of the church what word he will speak. Rather, the prophet is sent by God to speak the word of God. That's verse 7. The word that I command thee, thou shalt speak. In verse 9, the Lord touches the prophet's mouth and says, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And in verse 17, he says, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Jeremiah is commissioned to speak the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, not only because it is a word from the Lord, a word having its source in the Lord, but this is the word of the Lord also because it is the word about the Lord. A word that has the Lord for its content. It is the word that he is the Lord, the sovereign Lord God, the only Lord God. And that all the idols whom the children of Israel have been serving are no lords. It is the word that as the only Lord God, Israel must worship him and worship him alone. It is the word that he is the Lord who graciously and with a stretched out arm brought his people forth out of the bondage, the misery, and the death of Egypt. In New Testament terms, it is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his cross and death has delivered his elect people from the bondage, misery, and death of their sin and the guilt of their sin in order to be members of his covenant. It is the word that out of love and gratitude, Israel is to keep the Lord's commandments and to live thankful and holy lives before the Lord to the praise and glory of the Lord, their part in the covenant. It is the word that sets before the Lord's people the hope of Canaan, where he will live in fellowship and friendship with his people, which Canaan was a type of heaven and the everlasting life of the covenant of God perfected in glory. This is the word that the prophet preacher is to speak. At the same time, this word is the word of warning and is a word of judgment against all who go on impenitent in their sins, in their defiance of the Lord God. They will be judged by the Lord, both in this life and in the life to come. That too belongs to the word of the Lord, as verse 16 makes abundantly plain. and I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me." Since this word of the Lord is now set down in Holy Scripture, the calling of the prophet preacher today is the calling to preach these sacred scriptures. This is the word, Brother Ibe, that you must bring to God's people in the Philippines, as it is the word that we are called to bring to God's people living in the United States. You must bring these scriptures as the very word of the Lord. That's the honor that we have for these scriptures. Here is defined the task that you have as an expositor of the word of the Lord. All of your training in the last 5 years has focused on this one great calling. This is the one great calling that God gives you. This is the one great calling that the church binds upon you. Commissioned by the Lord to bring the word of the Lord, the promise of God is that the prophet's word would be effective. That in conclusion. That is verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. The prophet's word would be a powerful, effective word. The people may disregard the prophet and the word of the prophet. Many do. The people may become upset at the prophet, angry with the prophet, preacher. Many do. The people may reject the prophet, preacher, oppose him, persecute him. Many do. They did God's prophet Jeremiah. These things have always been the experience of the faithful prophet preachers of God. But the word of the prophet preacher is effective. Is effective. Exactly because it is the word of the Lord. That word can never be successfully resisted, as Judah found out. There is only one explanation for that. As I said, the word of the faithful prophet preacher is the word of the Lord, the almighty, efficacious word of the Lord. That's verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put My words in thy mouth. That effectiveness of the word of the prophet will show itself in two ways. as it always has throughout history. Those two ways are spelled out in verse 10. There will be a twofold result to the word brought by the faithful prophet preacher. This does not just happen. It does not simply turn out this way that we witness throughout history, this twofold result to the word brought by the faithful prophet preacher. But this is the will, and this is the purpose of God with His Word. Contrary to the teaching, to the supporters of the teaching of the well-meant offer of the gospel, it is God's will that the Word brought by the faithful prophet preacher root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. That is, God uses His Word powerfully as a word of condemnation and judgment, a word that hardens sinners in the guilt of their sin and makes them ripe for the judgment of God. But there is a positive purpose of God also. There was to the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah, and there is a positive purpose of God in the preaching of the gospel today. God uses the preaching of the gospel as a means of grace and salvation. Wonder of wonders, the word that we weak and sinful human beings bring, God uses to save His elect people. He uses that word to build and to plant. That is humbling. Humbling to think of it, that God uses us, uses me, will use you in order to gather and to build up His elect church. He does that so that in the end, all the glory for the salvation of sinners, it may be abundantly clear, is His and His alone. I thank you.